welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different as we get started. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine your least favorite household chore. What is it? What is your mom asking you to do? What is your dad asking you to do? What is your spouse asking you to do? What mess did your kids make that you're now responsible for, right? What is your least favorite household chore? I just want you to kind of sit and meditate on that for a moment. You can go ahead and open your eyes now. As you kind of hold that thought, I'm going to give you mine. Mine is dishes. I do not like to do dishes. I have never liked to do dishes. It has never been something that I've been favorably disposed towards, and it's still not something that I would say, yeah, I enjoy that. And growing up, it was the one chore that I would avoid at all costs in the home. And once I was out on my own as a bachelor, it was something that I often would ignore until there was just no more cereal bowls left, and then I'd have to wash the cereal bowls, right? Bachelors, that's how we would live. But it got to this place where when I had moved out, I was living in the Front Range. I was a youth pastor at a church in Lyons, Colorado. And we had a young man in our church who wanted to be part of the worship team. He was learning the drums, but he couldn't afford drum lessons. And so I struck a deal with him. I paid for his drum lessons. And once a week, he would come over to my house and he would do the dishes that I just left piled in the sink because I did not want to do those dishes. And what's interesting to me is I carried that into being married. And so as Beth and I started out in life, for me, it was just, I just didn't do that. I would leave those lovingly for her. And that works for a while until life becomes a little bit more complicated. It began to speed up. Ministry began to become more demanding. We added kids to the equation, and now everything is getting more complicated. And we would end up in these moments where the dishes needed to be done, and it was late at night, and it was just time to kind of check out and clock out. And I would have already checked out, and she would have this one last task. And so that became a little bit of a problem at times, and some of you may be able to relate to that. And we would have these conversations that would get a little bit volatile, and then I would end up doing the dishes, but not with a loving heart. It would be I would be violently washing the dishes, getting things done. And what would often come up was, I don't want you to just do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes. Why would anybody ever want to do that, right? And so that was kind of the experience going into our marriage. And we have been married for a while. We have grown and matured. I have grown in my desire to serve my wife and to care for my family. And I can tell you, it took about 10 years to get to the place where I would do the dishes without being asked, but I am there and I can do it. And the reason why I share that with you is not for you to be like, oh, impressive, or for you to look at your spouse and say, see, the pastor can do the dishes. Don't do that. But what I want to demonstrate is that it took a conscious decision at some point for me to grow in that area. That it wasn't just time passing. We could have passed the 10-year mark and I could still not be doing that. But there was a point where for our relationship and for our home to grow and to mature and to flourish, there was a decision that I needed to make to move into that direction. And I share that with you because this morning we're going to start looking at the marks of maturity that are going to require you and I to actually make a choice to move forward in, to actually choose to grow in those areas. Because just because time has passed doesn't mean that you've grown and matured in your walk with Jesus in any real, tangible way. Time can pass and we can stay infants in our faith. Time can pass and we can still be distant from the Lord. And so there are places in us where we have to choose to move into areas that are oftentimes uncomfortable for us in order for us to grow and to mature. And in the first couple of weeks, as we've talked about the marks of maturity, what does it look like to be mature in the things of God, to mature into the man of God or the woman of God that you were created to be in Christ Jesus? As we've been looking at that, we started in the first week at the idea that maturity in the kingdom of God comes with a couple things in tow. One is that it indicates fruitfulness, or fruitfulness is an indicator of growing maturity. But to get there, resiliency has to be something that is developed in you as well. That in order to get to a multiplied fruitfulness in your life, there are times where you have to push through difficulties, challenges, or even hard things in order for you to grow and mature. So Psalm 1 was where we started, the idea that the one who is blessed is the person who's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit and whose leaf does not wither, that there's fruitfulness and resiliency. And so that is something that you and I need to be looking for in our lives. And last week, Pastor Tom talked about how the fullness of Christ in us is really the expression of maturity. That understanding maturity in the kingdom of God, being spiritually mature, is ultimately having the fullness of Christ expressed in us as individuals and as a church family, and us being fully in Christ or fully expressed in Him. And so there's work that Jesus does in us and through us that causes us to grow. And so there's a fruitfulness and a resiliency that needs to be developed, and there needs to be a whole dependence on Christ at work in me and an understanding of who I am in Christ as my identity. But after those two things are secured and settled, now you have to make choices. Now you have to choose to, in your daily activity of life, your ins and outs, your comings and goings, whether you are going to move into the fullness of maturity that is on offer for you in Christ, or whether you are going to just let time pass. So we're going to turn our attention to scripture today. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get it out. I'd ask you to just raise it up. If you got your smartphone or tablet, go ahead and open that up. Lord, we ask that you would soften our hearts today. Lord, that we would receive the seed of your word, that it would go down deep in us and take root, that it would grow, that we would tend to its cultivation, and Lord, that we would see its fruit expressed in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to start looking at marks of maturity that go beyond kind of the big perspective to the small marks of maturity that need to be expressed in our lives as we follow Christ, and comes to a place where we are going to choose to do the dishes or not, in a sense, whether or not we're going to move forward into the things of God. And if you've got your Bible, you should already have it out. You can go to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be looking at a portion of scripture there as our kind of main starting point today. But I want to frame the background of what's going on here. Jesus had his disciples with him. And they were constantly traveling and moving with him. And as any kind of team or as any group, there is oftentimes kind of a jockeying for position to kind of where you fall in the pecking order. If you are somebody who's familiar with kind of a sports metaphor, there's always maybe a team captain or some team leaders or some things along those lines. And what would happen invariably is in the disciples, there would be conversations that were coming up of kind of like who was in charge or who was in the lead or who was going to have pole position or influence. And they would posture one against one another and kind of try to one up one another for those positions. And several times in scripture, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get little insights into this happening where there are disputes between the disciples as they are kind of challenging who's going to be Jesus's right-hand man, who's going to be the one who gets to sit next to him. Because as they're thinking about the kingdom of God and Jesus being the one who is the king in that sense, they're thinking of it in an earthly context, they're thinking of it in a governmental context, and when Jesus comes into power, I wonder what position I'm going to get. I wonder what authority I'm going to get. And so they would have these conversations, and Jesus would pull them aside, and this is where he would say, hey, in the kingdom of God, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. He spent a lot of time talking to them about kind of the upside down paradigm of God's kingdom, because they could only see it through their earthly kingdom eyes. And what happens in Matthew chapter 20 is there's another one of these instances where this is taking place. But instead of the disciples just disputing among themselves, James and John, their mom comes to Jesus in private and says, you know what, Jesus? I know you're going to be looking for some outstanding leaders. and you'll probably look in your group. This is paraphrased, by the way. But my little Jimmy and Johnny, they would really be great leaders. She comes to Jesus and kind of petitions for her sons to be elevated above the other disciples. And as you would think, right, if you were the coach of a team and a player's mom came to you and the players heard about it, you know, my little Billy would be a great team captain. That's going to cause some problems, right? So now all of a sudden, there's this conversation among the disciples where they're angry and indignant with one another, and they're kind of starting to postulate against one another and try to one-up one another. And Jesus basically says, hey, time out, fellas. I'm going to pull you aside and we're going to correct this. And so in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, it says this. It says, Jesus called them together, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So he lays out the way that the world works. Somebody who has authority, somebody who has position, leverages that for their own influence and for their own gain. It's something that is used to kind of elevate yourself. And he kind of gives a general understanding of the way that things work in the world that we live in. And then he brings a contrast, verse 26. He says, not so with you. Hey, this isn't going to be the way that it works, fellas. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And then he moves even further beyond that and says, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so as his disciples are kind of having this little tiff, and they've got some infighting going on, and they're trying to elevate themselves one above the other, Jesus comes and says, hey, you know what? In essence, quit acting like little kids and recognize what it means to grow up in maturity in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't work the way that the world works. The kingdom of God is going to work in a different way. And if you want to be great, then you are going to be a servant. And if you want to be first, then you are going to be a slave, just like, look at the verse, just like the Son of Man, Jesus speaking of himself, just like I did not come to be served, but to serve. Hey guys, watch me, I'm going to demonstrate this, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And one of the marks of maturity that you find demonstrated in the life of Christ, but often taught by Jesus, is the mark of a servant. Being willing to serve others, to put others first, to disadvantage yourself on behalf of others, to ultimately be willing to sacrifice and to lose on your own behalf for somebody else to gain. And so a mark of maturity in the kingdom of God is understanding how to serve others. And we're going to look at that this morning, but I'm going to kind of press maybe your preconceptions of what it looks like to serve others and maybe move you into a place that's a little bit uncomfortable as the Lord challenges you to grow and to mature. Because one of the interesting things that Jesus does here is he lays out what it looks like to be a mature person in the kingdom of God who knows how to serve. Is he moves beyond just the idea of a simple volunteer to the idea of becoming a bond servant to another's will. He actually moves us through a place of just going from a simple act of service to taking on an identity of being one who is submitted to the will of another. And it's a hard transition for me. It's a hard journey for us to make together because we are typically pretty self-absorbed. We are oftentimes consumed with self, and that's not speaking of us as Coloradans or even Americans. That is a human trait that we have a tendency to consider ourselves first, and that's why the authority that we typically have is to our own advantage and we lord it over others. And so Jesus is giving us a different way to do this. And so as he does this, he says, not so with you. There's a different way for you to demonstrate you have grown in the things of the kingdom of God. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And we're going to start right there, the idea of a servant. Pastor Tom last week talked about this when he was looking at Ephesians chapter 4, talking about how the way that the body of Christ has been put together is for you and I to be matured into understanding how to minister or to serve in the kingdom of God. And he touched on this word for servant or ministry in that passage that talks about being an attendant or kind of like somebody who waits on tables. And that's the same word that Jesus is using here, that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to learn how to serve. You have to become an attendant to other people's needs, not just primarily absorbed with your own. And it has to do with kind of waiting on tables. But the thing that is interesting here is that Jesus doesn't just leave it at this. He's gonna escalate it. He's gonna make it a little bit more challenging in just a moment. This is the bare minimum, you guys. This is the baby step. This is where we start. We start in coming to a salvation in Christ that moves us into a consideration of others, where we begin to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And as we attend to that relationship, we begin to know what it looks like to love our neighbor as ourself. And so it begins with that type of a process. But this word here for attendant is largely elective. And what that means is this, that somebody who is an attendant or a servant or somebody who chooses to wait on tables, that there is a choice to do that, and I am electing to do that. And for many of us, the way that we think about service and serving others really is formed by that frame or that perspective. There is an election to it where I'm saying, yeah, I'm willing to do that. And even with kind of a proprietorship here in our culture, a place can refuse service, right? They don't have to serve you. In fact, it will say, we reserve the right to refuse service. That's because we can choose to attend or not. We don't have to be the waiter at your table. In fact, I'm not going to wait on you or in this way, and there's a variety of ways that maybe that can be expressed. But ultimately, this type of service is service that we choose. It's service that is oftentimes has a recompense. It means that I get something out of it. Maybe I'll serve you, but there's a tip for me. There's something in it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I'll volunteer. I like to do that, right? So the young man whose drum lessons I paid for, he liked doing dishes. He would do dishes at his house, and so he was like, this is free money. It would have been different for me, but he was coming and doing it in those terms. It's to serve others, but it's still being, listen, submitted to your own will in many ways. I will serve you, but it's because I choose to serve you, because it is of benefit to me, or because it's something that I like to do, or it's something that has value to me, and I will choose to do it. And let me just tell you that that type of service, it's good, it has great value, but it is the base level of what it looks like to be great in the kingdom of God. See, Jesus says if you want to be great, you need to be this type of attendant. You need to attend to the needs of others. In essence, he's saying, hey, this is really good. But in the next statement, he says, but whoever wants to be first, do you want to excel? Do you want to stand out? Do you actually want to be in contention to be my number one or number two? Do you want to be elevated and stand out against the rest? Is that really your desire? Then you have to become a slave. Now, a lot of translations won't use slave here. They'll use another kind of idea for servant because it comes with a lot of preloaded thought in our context and in our particular national history. And it's not talking about oppression slavery here. It's not talking about subjugating yourself to an oppressor. Then it's not talking about exploitation. The word is doulos in the Greek, and it means to become a bond servant. It means to be submitted to the will of another. It's one thing to serve somebody. It's another to submit yourself to another's will. Those aren't the same thing. It's another step forward. And Jesus says, hey, one is good, it has value, and it will bear fruit in your life, but there is one that is more excellent. There is another way to do things, and it is to move from serving but still being submitted to your own will to understanding what it looks like to serve submitted to another's will. And not to the submission of the will of another man, but understanding how to be submitted to the will of God. And so this doulos word here, this idea of a bondservant, is the willful submission to the will of another, listen to me, that helps you have a posture to do the things you don't want to do. To do the things that you don't want to do in the way that you didn't want to do them, in a way that is ultimately or potentially costly to you. That's a different type of service. It's one thing to serve in a way where you choose to do it because you want to or you're willing to, and there's something that's in it for you. It's a completely different type of service to do something that you don't want to do because you know it's the right thing to do. Because you know it's something that the Lord is asking you to do. You know that it is a way to love and care and serve others who maybe haven't asked for it or will ever even appreciate it. But it's something that you're willing to do. About a year ago, we were sitting together as a staff, and we were talking about debriefing Sunday morning. And one of the pastors related their Sunday morning experience, and it was a little bit humorous, and it was a little bit horrific. And what had happened is this pastor had gone into the restroom in between service, and there had clearly been a mishap in that restroom. I'll leave it to your imagination, and you can fill in all of the horrific details yourself. But they stumbled upon what was a horrific scene where somebody had obviously been sick and in distress, and the thought was, what do I do with this? Like, who do you tell? Nobody. It's yours. You found it. Finders keepers, losers weepers, right? And so this pastor just rolled up their sleeves and just went to work, cleaning, sanitizing, doing the whole thing, knowing that in just a matter of minutes, the next service was going to begin. People were going to start coming in. The next service was going to start. And they had roles in service as well. And so in between services, they're in there attending to this detail. Not because anybody signs up for that. Not because somebody says, yes, that's totally what I want. Not because that is an undiscovered treasure that you stumbled upon. It's just, this has to be done, and I'm here, and I'm willing to do it because I have learned how to do hard and dirty things. And as they were in the middle of cleaning up that restroom and attending to all of the details of that, they were fighting back their gag reflex. Right? Parents of small kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So they're trying to get themselves, they get themselves composed, and then as they get everything finished, Pastor Beth has to walk back into the service and come up here and lead worship. Yeah, it was Pastor Beth who was doing that. Isn't that amazing? So gross. So gross. And like a good husband, I was sitting with a group of pastors in our community that I meet with and I pray with, and of course I told them that story. And we were laughing and we were all kind of swapping our own ministry stories. But then I asked all of them a question. I said, you know what? I go, how many of you guys have had to do something like that in ministry? To my pastor friends, how many of you have had to clean up a bathroom like that or have had to deal with mishaps like that? How many of you have had to do that with your own hands rolling? Every single one of those pastors raised their hands. Every single one. And in fact, here's something that I have discovered in ministry. My pastor friends who have made it through the most difficult times in ministry almost invariably share that trait where they have done dirty, dirty stuff. Not because they wanted to, not because there was glory in it, not because anybody would ever know, but they've learned how to not just serve on the platform or to serve when they get accolades, but they've learned how to serve in the grit and the grime of the trenches behind the scenes because they know that they serve Jesus, not just serve the church. And I know pastors and I know ministry leaders and I know followers of Christ who haven't gotten to that point. I have friends in ministry who have not made it. They've crashed out. They are no longer pastoring. And many of them never learned how to serve in this way. They knew how to serve from the front. They knew how to serve and to volunteer. They knew how to give of themselves. They knew how to do the basic expression of service in the kingdom of God. But they had never matured to being resilient in the dirty, gritty part of ministry that will cost you something that you didn't want to pay. And there is a cost to maturity. There always is. There are spiritual stretch marks that happen in our lives as we are stretched to grow into more fully expressing the likeness of Christ in our lives. It's a requirement. And so Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples, he's not just simply saying, hey guys, you need to care about other people. Hey fellas, you should probably volunteer once in a while. Hey, if you've got some time or it's convenient, maybe you should think about giving of yourselves for others. He's saying, hey guys, if you want to be great at all, you better learn how to serve others. And if you want to be the first, you're going to have to submit yourself wholly under the will of God. And that's the challenge for us. It's a baby step. It's a baby step in following Jesus to just volunteer my service. It's a baby step to just self-elect and pick and choose when I want to serve and how I want to serve at my convenience or for my benefit or aligned with my interests. It has value. It bears fruit. It's necessary. It's the starting point. But it's just the baby step. And a mark of maturity is to move into a place where we are willing to serve when we don't feel like it, to do the things that we didn't want to do in a way that costs us something that is greater than what we thought we would want to pay. It moves us into a different place. And that type of maturity you can't get to because you just determine or choose to do that. I can choose to do the dishes in my home and I can grow a little bit, but it is different to die to yourself and to live for Christ. That is a work that the Holy Spirit has to do in us, but we do choose to surrender to that. We do say yes to it. And that mature expression is maturity because it is Christ-like. Jesus did that. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, and he starts talking to them about the way that they're supposed to interact with one another, giving them some reminders of things that they would have learned while he was there with them. And he says this in verse 3. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ." And so he's encouraging them to serve one another, to be thinking of others, to put their needs first, to attend to those things. In many ways, describing what it means to serve at kind of the base level in the kingdom of God. But then he moves on and he says that we should have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, and then describes Jesus in this way. He says, "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." Paul says, look at Jesus and how he demonstrates what it looks like to serve, not just considering others in a way of helping them and attending to their needs, but as he describes how Jesus demonstrated this, he says that Jesus took upon himself the nature of a servant. Now the NIV translates it as servant, but it's not the attendant word that we've been talking about. It's the doulos word. It's the bond slave. That Jesus didn't just attend to our needs and think of us and do what was needed when it was convenient to him, but that he became a bond slave or a doulos to the will of God unto death for us on our behalf. It's the reason why in the garden when Jesus is praying and he says, "Father, if there's any other way, can we not do the cross thing? I don't want to do this." But he says, "Not my will, yours be done. I'm not just electing to do what is comfortable for me. Father, not my will, yours. I will be the doulos. I will be the bond servant. I will submit myself to your will, ultimately to death, if this is what is required." See, so Jesus demonstrates, that's what servant leadership looks like. We look at a lot of other things in Scripture that talks about Jesus being a servant, attending to the needs of others and washing his disciples' feet and demonstrating what it looks like to lift up the lowly. All of those things are great. But the ultimate expression of his service is the cross. It's his death and then his resurrection on our behalf. It is being submitted wholly to the will of God. And for you and I, to move into this type of maturity, it requires the same thing. It requires us to submit ourselves wholly to the will of God and then begin to, in that submission, say yes to serving, not just when we feel like it, not just when it's to our advantage, not just when it's aligned with our interests, but serving to a place that's uncomfortable, where we're disadvantaged, where it costs us something, where we don't actually want to do this. But we'll say yes to the leading of the Lord into that. And ultimately, we submit to him. And in that, we begin to willfully submit ourselves to serving others. But you can't skip it. If you just say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to serve so good this week. Good luck. Do that in your own strength. You know who you're going to serve? You're going to serve yourself. I absolutely know it because I've done that before. We have to wholly submit to the will of the Lord. And then as he leads, begin to wholly serve. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back forward. Church family, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to do something as you do that. We're going to take a moment to close our eyes and invite the Lord to speak to our heart, to challenge us this morning. And I want to entertain a few questions as we close, as we think about this. This morning, we're focusing on being a servant. We're focusing on service as a mark of maturity. And as Jesus kind of lays out what it looks like to be great in his kingdom, you know, the base mark, the lowest benchmark, is being an attendant to the needs of others. And for many of us, this is where we stay. It's so hard sometimes just to think about others that we never actually get past this. We don't mature in service because we don't actually grow in what it means to just attend to the needs of others. And so as we're challenged to move beyond that this morning with your eyes closed, I want to invite you to entertain these questions. The first one is this: in what way are you serving others right now? Can you think of any? Are you serving at all? Maybe for you, it's not a step of maturity that's needed in your life. It's just a baby step of service. It's just to move from thinking about just you to thinking about somebody else. To consider not just what Jesus has done for you, but what Jesus wants to do with you in the life of somebody else. Maybe that's your baby step this morning. Maybe as I ask that question, how are you serving others? There's a number of things that fire off, come to your attention. And maybe you would filter them through this next question. Are these ways that you have chosen to serve out of convenience or self-interest? Are they simply baby steps that are good, but is God challenging you to something more? How is he challenging you to become a bondservant wholly to his will? Where can you choose to serve in ways that is personally costly? Where can you choose to disadvantage yourself to advantage somebody else? Where can you choose to endure something difficult that you didn't want to do, knowing that the Lord's asking you to serve others in that way? Lord, we humble our hearts before you this morning. And we acknowledge that these kind of questions are uncomfortable for us. Lord, when we weigh our motives and our attitudes before you, we are often found wanting. But Lord, our desire is that we would grow in maturity in your kingdom, that we would become the men of God, the women of God, that you have designed us to be. And so Lord, help us to take steps in following Christ's example and what it looks like to serve. Jesus, we thank you that you submitted yourself wholly to the will of God, that you gave ultimately all of yourself to recover us as we were lost and wayward and broken, that you disadvantaged yourself for our advantage. Lord, we see that example and we see it as more than just serving out of convenience. We see it as sacrifice. And so, Lord, do that work in us that we would become sacrificial servants in the way that we express this. For some of my friends here today, help them to take the baby steps this week to just think about others, to serve them. Maybe in just a simple act of volunteering or in a way that is convenient, but help them to take those baby steps. And Lord, for others, build the resiliency in us that pushes us beyond that to serve in areas that it's uncomfortable, to stumble upon the bathroom mishaps and say, I found it and I'm going to take responsibility for it, so I'll roll up my sleeves, then I will love and I will serve in this broken situation because I know it's my opportunity to demonstrate spiritual maturity and God's love for others. Lord, do that work in us, because left to our own, we can't find it. We can't do this in our own strength. But Lord, give us the courage and the leading of your Spirit to choose to grow in this direction as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you got a smartphone or a tablet, you can snap a picture of our action steps this week. The first one, consider ways that you could begin to serve others. Take some baby steps towards doing that. And then look for ways to mature in service, doing hard things that are personally costly.